Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Kevin McCashin, and we're going to talk about Mayor Sheehan and politics in Albany. And I have to reach him on the phone, so bear with me for just 1 second.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. We're on the air. This is Focus on Albany. My guest today is Kevin McCashin, and we're going to talk about politics in Albany and civil unrest. So it's really physical as to what's happening, not only in Albany, but across the country. What are your thoughts on what's going on?
Well, it's... Obviously, when you have such a cut-and-dry situation, that provokes outrage. People are right to get out there and protest and vent their anger and stuff like that. The problem is, It goes too far, and you get into this sort of looting and rioting, and it's an excuse for a lot of bad behavior. So just amazing to see it in Albany. The last ones, well... rioting and looting, we know after the Rodney King verdict in the 90s.
Right.
And then the 60s were the last round. It seems to be almost cyclical, doesn't it? So
my question to you is, this is going on nationwide, but how do you think Kathy Sheehan's administration is dealing with it?
Well, I think... they obviously were overwhelmed. There could have been more precautions. They seemed like they were caught fairly unaware. And I think every municipality is going to have an issue or would have an issue, where they're tied up in one location and it just allows for sort of chaos in other locations. I don't know why they didn't roll out the National Guard to help protect or do anything else on subsequent nights, but maybe they think they had it under control. I guess we only really had one night of looting, didn't we, in the city of Albany?
Yes.
I don't know if there was that much more, but definitely overwhelmed.
And, the fact that the police chief was not in town, he's been getting criticized for that. What's your thoughts on that?
It seemed to be he did an interview on our air for about an hour or so, and he got into the Michigan thing and says he doesn't live in Michigan, so he is very frustrated about that. But he said he didn't specifically say where he was away to, but he said we leave town and go to vacations. My wife lives in town, she works in town, or at least in the area, And they just have a situation of it just bad optics as far as that goes. I don't know, and I don't even know how fast you could call out the National Guard or anything like that, but just to have people on the streets in front of these businesses. I mean, the biggest thing was the Chris Churchill article in the Times Union, and he wrote the piece on the people who had 80, the cash and carry store, or the little convenience store where they had 80 people in and out and the police were just outside watching, That's kind of shocking. But if they're tied up. Go ahead.
People work 9-to-5 jobs, but in your case, it might not be exactly 9-to-5. But once you punch out, your time is your time. You could go to New York City. You could go to the moon. That's your business. Do you think that the police chief is getting undue criticism for not being in town during this?
Yeah, maybe. And it may just be his, I don't know. It just may be, remember, Albany's administration allegedly is fairly progressive in that sense. But I guess the further to the left you go, the less they're liked. And I don't know. They seem to have. I mean, it's been nationally known as a sanctuary city. They welcome everything, and it still kind of seems out of control with the shootings and stuff like that. It's a real big mess, I think. I think one or two nights of unrest is a typical thing. We'll see how much longer it lasts. Even places like Minneapolis, which are really, 10 days, or New York City, 10 days, as long as it's peaceful demonstrations, there's no problem. It can go on forever. You know, the funny thing with demonstrations is we always see these things and then they sort of lessen off, and it doesn't seem like there are too many specific demands, with the exception of the 50A reform, which is to show the personnel records of, to show law enforcement's personnel records. You have the bail reform and discovery. You had a press conference yesterday with David Soros and Chief Hawkins. And so it seems like there's been progress made. I mean, if people just want a black chief or a West Indian immigrant, son of West Indian immigrants, for a DA, you got them. So you can't really say that. You know, would it matter if there's a black mayor or, Kathy Sheehan? They had this big sort of prayer service down at the Times Union Atrium, and she's almost in tears and apologizing for history of racism, which she had nothing to do with. She didn't live 400 years ago. So it's just a jumbled mess. The only specific demands I've seen are defund the police. And as a far-right libertarian, I'd love to see that. Have no cops as long as we can have guns. But I think that's a recipe for chaos. You know, I think that they're being sold a bill of goods if they think defunding the police is key. Well, you know, we had a stabbing and a homicide last night in Troy. You know, so who would respond to that? Who responds to a homicide? What about the 10-year-old kid that got shot? Less cops? Does that help?
Right.
You know, the flip side is if everything's going to be out of control, you're going to get a police state. So, you know, this whole thing could have helped Trump out. As much as the media says, oh, it was bad for him. Well, listen, what are the number of voters versus the number of protesters? So, you know, unrest always helps out. Always helps bring in fascism if you want a real fascist state. You know, you saw the 60s brought in Nixon. So,
right.
You know, and then from the 60s to the 70s, you got Reagan and then Bush. And then Clinton was a Republican practically. And Obama was, you know, just a Wall Street corporate fabrication. So it's really not to focus on race is no good. It is a class problem. I mean, I watched the Brothers documentary. So the Brothers was the civil rights group in Albany in the 60s. They just wanted better jobs, and they wanted trash pickup. You know, they wanted a shot to get the good union jobs and the construction projects and stuff like that. They didn't, you know, it wasn't we need all to be lawyers or something like that. So it's just there's a lot of vague energy and emotion. It's just a question of, if the demand is to defund the police, let a place like Minneapolis do that. So if the police were defunded, who would respond to anything? Well, you know, what's their vision for the future? What's their vision? Yes, there's bad cops. I mean, listen, I've helped take out cops in the city of Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, is abhorred by the behavior. And the excess, but it's a mess basically. And really, so from the 60s, when the protests started, did the inner cities get any better? You know, so what,
no,
you know, they made demands. Maybe it has, but there's bigger things. I mean, the deindustrialization of America, you know, via globalization has been a big problem. The notion it's Wall Street driving a lot of it. And I think they want everybody to be focused on race and low level fighting so we can't deal with the real class war. So the problem is if you don't have, you know, you got families falling apart and you have no middle class, you're going to get looting because people don't have a stake in society. You know, like you said, you know, somebody works 9 to 5, they can go do what they want to do. But the majority of people who work 9 to 5 go do something, or they have their little, you know, goofy little lawn and their house in suburbia, and that makes them happy. Or they do their little community group and stuff like that. They don't go out and loot. You know, if people don't have any value or stake in society, they're going to feel this way. And that's the problem. You know, they have to have, you know, some sort of link to community and stuff like that. And Hawkins, you know, Hawkins is an outsider. He's almost like an Alexis de Tocqueville coming into Albany. And he's like, no, the community is engaged. But the people who, you know, fire the guns, you know, the 20-round exchange the other day where it went through the wall and hit a 10-year-old in the shoulder, or the 3-year-old got shot. You know, what do you do about them? Well, they probably come from broken families. You know, kids until they're 25, 26, even later, they don't have fully formed, their brains aren't even fully formed. So the morality isn't necessarily there. The judgment isn't there. There's a lack of impulse control. It could be environmental too. You know, when they had the lead in the gasoline, lead, you know, reduces your impulse control. And so, you know, there were the 60s had some of that tied in, and the fluoride in the water and all this chemical stuff that, you know, we talk about PFOAs as carcinogens. Well, what else is involved? You know, we see the obesity crisis in America, which is why the COVID and the coronavirus hit so hard with segments of America, you know, and the death toll so high is because people aren't necessarily healthy. So they're not mentally healthy and they're not physically healthy. And a lot of it is just our junk throwaway culture. A lot of the stuff that the left talks about, I agree with completely, you know, from high fructose corn syrup, you know, all the way through to just sitting around. So, you know, it's a wake up call, but it definitely doesn't help anybody when the least in society are suffering and don't feel like they have a future or hope. That's not good. Uh-huh. You know, so how do you fix that? Well, it's a cultural. It's more cultural than it is, okay, we're going to pass 50A reform. Well, okay, so you do that. Well, so what? You know, people are still basically prone. They can get in bad situations and do stupid things. You know, you kind of look and you're like, how do the other three cops, when this murderous whack job cop in Milwaukee is on his neck, how do the other three not just push him off? You know, whatever, right. You know, and they asked, hey, should we turn him on his side? Is that right? But they didn't shove him off. Well, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, they had three newbies out there with a guy who had, you know, 17 complaints, you know, but the world on fire due to police-involved shootings. There were 1,000 police-involved shootings last year. If you go to Washington Post, the Washington Post tracks all the police-involved shootings, homicides. There were 1,000 last year. Obviously, because the majority of the population is white, that, you know, it was biased in that direction. Of the 1,000, a little over 200 were black involved. As far as unarmed people that the cops shot that did not have, you know, what are technically considered weapons, you know, and obviously you can have hands and fists. There were only 10 that weren't armed that were killed by cops. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and of those, 5 were involved in a fight. So you have 5 really bad ones that are race-based, you know, or at least you could ascribe race to them. You don't know what's really behind all the details. In a country of 330 million. Can we get that to zero? Probably not. There's 900 a year, every year. So, you know, are you ever going to get that to zero? I don't think so. So what are you really asking for?
Let me ask you this, you know, Kevin. You said you saw the movie about the brothers. What'd you think?
It was pretty good. But you know what? They all quit their activism because they got better jobs.
Right.
They moved to the suburbs. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. They got a stake in society. Now, it's also part of human nature where younger people want to save the world, or they want to change the world, or they don't really harden down, or they don't have much responsibility. So you typically get that. That's why older people trend more conservative, you know, and that's why you see younger protesters. It's new. It's just a sort of human cycle, you know. But go ahead.
Leon Van Dyke, leader of the Brothers, just came back from the Philippines because he had health problems. And I've been talking with him, and I've been interviewing him on Focus on Over. He's just a delight to talk to. I really like him. 85.
And what did he focus on for the rest of his life?
He was working at the State University for a long time. And
right.
I think he worked for over 20 years. And then when he retired, he went down to the Philippines, and he settled in the Philippines, and he got married, and he has, believe it or not, 85, and he's got two young children, like ages 9 and 7.
Yeah.
So
wow.
So he's back, and I have him on Focus on Albany a few times, and I've got him down at WCAA, and he's really happy being able to, you know, broadcast stuff about what's going on. But my question to you is, I'm sure, of course, I know you were around during the time of Dante Ivey, okay?
Sure.
And that was pretty tragic. Out of all of the situations in this country where citizens have been, their life has been snuffed out by a cop. I want to use Dante Ivey an example. Why did not Dante Ivey resonate throughout the country, but the one in Minnesota did?
Ha! It's a great question because these things happen, you know, or even you see that. Well, you know, there could be other underlying factors. You know, why didn't the Dante Ivey thing cause rioting?
Right. Outside Albany.
Yeah. Well, or why didn't anybody know of it outside Albany? You know,
correct.
I don't know. You know, just depends on the news cycle. Could be the age of Trump. The media wants something new to focus on, and that certainly resonates. I mean, think about it. If the, you know, and there was no video. I mean, no video right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This one you had right. Video right away, so it's perfect for the news cycle. So you can get that going. I think people are they're very fired up and propagandized about Trump. So, you know, there's multiple things going on. Remember, you had the protest was there going on early in Townsend Park. And I don't. You know, and they weren't the rioters down at the South Station, I don't think. You know, Citizen Action doesn't have a militia. You know, Citizen Action doesn't blow off pipe bombs. There's no organized, you know, if you're talking about some loose Antifa, you know, it's not that I know of, that it's organized like a Citizen Action or anybody like that. You know, because those groups would be infiltrated and infiltrated and taken out, you know, just like they did in the 60s, where they, any opposition, you know, left or right, they were spying on. So, you know, things are peaceful and then they just kind of got out of hand. You know, I mean, what drives somebody to stand there and throw bricks in front of cameras at cops when, you know, you're that stupid, you know, you're going to get arrested with all the video evidence. So, it's just chaotic, you know. I mean, there's no foundation, really. You know.
Now, do you think the cable networks try to fuel it a little bit more?
Well, it is fueled because it's the nature of keeping things exciting. You got to compete with movies. You got to compete with radio. You got to compete with everything else. So you got to keep it exciting. It's a visual medium, so you're going to have the most sensational things. You know, I mean, how many 75-year-old men have been pushed down by the police, you know, in the past year? Probably quite a bit. Yeah. Probably quite a lot, you know. And it's just once it's on camera, it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know, your philosophy, you're talking to me, and a lot of things that you say, the left would embrace. Why do you think people on the whole are so, you know, they just care about what they believe in, and they shut their minds off to anybody who does not espouse their way of thinking. And, you know, you and I have talked over the past couple of months. You know, we agree on a lot of things. Why do you think most people, why do you think most people are so closed-minded when there's so much information out there for them to really educate themselves?
Well, you know, they I guess in psychology they have like trait theory, where they have the big five personality traits, whether it be like openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, neuroticism, and people rate differently on that, on those scales. So people who are more open to experience, you know, whether it's from upbringing or whatever, because now you're dealing just vague categories, they're going to be more open to change. So if you look at different, the personality trait of a Republican versus the personality trait of a Democrat versus the personality trait of a, you know, a corporate Democrat like Kathy Sheehan or you know, Brian Shea or Joe Biden, versus you know, a far, you know, you or Russell or, you know, any of these other long-term activists are all going to be different. And so things are going to resonate with their specific personality. You know, so you have people who are more open to experience, and then people who are more closed off. And it used to be you'd have cultures that are different that way. Like the German culture, you can see how they, it went awry and got into, and you know, and it's in general, you know, you got your Weimar Germany, and then it goes right to Nazi Germany. So, and it's more of a, even the metaphors they used for the Holocaust and stuff like that were based on disease or the other or outside or purity, or so it's really, there's a fascinating bunch of social science stuff and psychology stuff on that. A lot of it ties into that. You know, if you look at this chaos, people are going to turn back to orderliness. You know, so it's kind of fascinating, but a lot of the big five personality traits, it'll be the same. You know, if you did a personality survey, the Republicans would largely be in line, and where their personality differs, you know, you're more open to a new experience. That's where you would have the crossovers of the libertarians and the progressives at the other end of the spectrum. You know, if you're trying to do like almost a taxonomy of it. So it's just kind of fascinating. And so you have institutions that are, go ahead.
When you turn the news on, you know, it's Black Lives Matter. You see demonstrations for Black people all over the country. And, you know, some of them are peaceful, which is good. Which is good. I think people should exercise their First Amendment rights. But when you turn on the TV and you see absolutely nothing about what goes on with Native Americans, what goes on the reservations, how they're suffering, what's going on with it. You don't see a thing about that. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, there are outlets. You know, I mean, I listen to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, and to try to get a big spectrum. You know, I'll listen to everything from Alex Jones to Amy Goodman to, you know, the mainstream corporate garbage. And it just is the nature of the media. You know, people can focus on smaller stuff and they can focus on larger stuff. It's just, it's not, the corporate stuff doesn't work that way. And a lot of it's advertising driven, right? You want controversy, but you don't want too much controversy. You know, I mean, if the issue was Native American stuff, it just takes people to go in there. And I'll tell you what, the ABC News one day shifted to the impact of coronavirus on the Indian reservations, you know, and just the poverty and stuff like that. But it's just a question of how much they focus on it, you know? So in that sense, part of it's the media, what the media wants to focus on, part of it's what the media focuses on, and then their competition. you know, if you look at what Fox covers versus what MSNBC and CNN cover, you know, it's two different things.
Right.
You know, so they got their own little sort of tribes, and then they're competing against each other. CNN competes against MSNBC, you know, and then they just try to, well, okay, well, who can we get that works with that demographic? A lot, you know, so a lot of it's money driven. A lot of it's
wow.
money driven. You even see the guidelines are changing for things like Reddit, where they're not going to allow controversy. Well, why is that? Because they're taking on advertising. So the advertisers don't want to do anything controversial. It's like with YouTube. Why did YouTube crack down on far-right stuff? Because advertisers don't want their ad next to something that's so crazy or racist or Nazi or something like that. So there's no real mm-hmm. free media because they're all, you know, why does Facebook censor? Well, is it really that there's a conspiracy against right-wingers or far-left-wingers? Probably not. It probably has to do with advertising because everything, you know, it's money-driven. You know, why do they censor me? They won't censor Trump's tweets. You know, it's just like, well, okay, you know, corporations, you know, are in support of rallies. Your corporate ethics are the same as Pepsi and Coca-Cola, really? You know, so there's a lot mm-hmm. more going on there. Or, you know, the NFL, right? The NFL is politically
right.
correct. Well, what's it all about? Listen, it's money driven. You know, or why, you know, why aren't they pointing out stuff about China or the NBA? You know, yeah, there's the Chinese have the million Uyghurs in the concentration camps. They censor free speech, you know, but listen, ABC News has Disneyland. ABC's owned by Disney. They have Disneyland in China. Are they, how hard are they going to cover the communist Chinese government? You know, it's easier to just cover Trump. You know.
So we have a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you this question. Do you think what's going on in Albany will adversely affect Kathy Sheehan if she wants to run again?
Well, only if somebody wants to primary, kind of groom Dorsey to do it. You know, I would assume Kathy would want to go to Congress if she wants to do, you know, kind of noble. I mean, just to show how wealthy she is, she gave up her salary for the rest of the year, right?
Right. Right.
You know, that's kind of interesting. But Trump did the same thing. You know, Trump doesn't take a salary. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, it'll be fascinating to see. She really kind of broke down the other day. And I think the problems are so big and there's not really political solutions. It's more cultural solutions. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, how do you change that, right? How do you change that? It's cultural. So, okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to have government go into families and tell families people got to be married together? People got to stay together? You can't have kids? What are you doing? Like China, the one-child policy? Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You can see how societies get off, you know, how they go off the hinges. You know, you can see, okay, well, it costs a lot of money to take care of mentally ill people, so the Germans put them to death. And then it expanded. You know, and they have eugenics and race policy and crazy, just craziness. You can see how societies get crazy. But the problem is once you have violence and stuff like that, people are going to demand a crackdown. The November election will be fascinating because, okay, if you watch TV, you think everybody's out here protesting. They're all, you know, they're going to vote this tyrant Trump out of office. And the boy used tear gas to clear out the church and the Episcopal bishop comes out and says this and says that. Well, who goes out and votes? Those people? Do the looters vote? Do the rioters vote? Do the protesters really vote? Do the young kids vote? Because every election I see in the Capital District is trended toward the voters who are over 65. They're not young.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the school board votes. The school board budgets are bigger than the city budgets. Who votes in that? 100 people? 500 people?
Right.
1,000 people in a city of 50,000?
Right.
You know, how many people vote? 3,000 people out of 100,000 people in Albany on the Albany school budget? It's got a bigger budget than the municipality.
Yep.
So it's it is interesting, you know?
We're out of time, Kevin, so give yourself a little plug.
Oh, yeah. So I'm on Talk 1300. and 98.7, 1300 AM, 98.7 FM, and online at talk1300.com on Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, and it's a lot of fun. And the show is called Road Rage. You can call in and talk.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.